welcome back to another bonus episode of Temporal Culture War, where we normally try to figure out what the hell was going on in the early 2000s while we watch one of television history's most maligned properties, Star Trek Enterprise. But this is a bonus episode. I'm Matty Lubchansky. I'm joined as ever by, of course,
Clayton Ashley.
Clayton Ashley, who we say our own names on this show. I just got done recording a show where we don't do that, so I'm out of my mind. Anyways, okay. So normally we watch Star Trek Enterprise, but on these bonus episodes, it's sort of forming around. We're watching the movies, and we long teased it, and then I was at a commission, but we're back, baby, and tonight... Today, this morning, I'm just covering all the bases for when you're listening. This
Twilight,
the middle of the night, twilight, sunrise, sunset, a new part of the day that hasn't been invented yet, but you could be listening to this.
One of those leap minutes that scientists add because the Earth's rotating too fast.
Yeah, or like the rotation of the Earth is actually like off by like a micrometer of a degree due to some dam that got built in China. I'm not kidding.
Which is
cool as hell. It changes nothing, but it's anyways.
We're gonna talk about
the future
Star Wars.
And they've invented a new part of the day. We're talking about Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. We're making Star Trek podcast history.
Yeah.
By being the first, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
The first Star Trek podcast.
Brave enough
to talk about, brave enough, bold enough to discuss a Star Wars property. We, of course, in the spirit of this show, are watching something horrible. But Attack of the Clones came out in May of 2002.
So we covered it a long time ago in the year 2002.
So we covered it
far away.
We covered it in the box office portion of our show. On a regular episode, we're like, oh, we got to watch that and talk about it. So, Clayton, I have one question for you, which is, who da man? Yoda man?
Oh, Yoda man, right.
Yoda man?
Yoda man is, he's kind of, I mean, I think he's more important in this movie than I realized.
Yeah, it's the sort of, and you know, I'm far from the first person to talk about this, I think, as a horrible nerd. Mm-hmm. But like, when we meet Yoda in the film, in the 1980 film, The Empire Strikes Back, Yoda, played by, of course, Frank Oz himself, the man, as a beautiful little puppet. When we meet Yoda, the whole thing is that all of his friends have been killed.
Yes.
And he's insane because he's been living on a swamp planet alone for what appears to be hundreds of years. Because he says he's like 900 years old or something. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, like the Old Republic, like he used to have friends and they all died a long, long time ago.
Long time ago.
He was not insane. He was always insane. He always talked backwards. This happened like 15 years ago.
Right. Yeah, it was just 15 years ago.
And he's like, I'm going to go to this swamp planet and immediately, like I'll be dead so soon. Despite 15 years ago, I was doing flips, fighting, doing sword fights with Christopher Lee. Like,
now I just want to be particular about this.
Uh-huh.
I think it's 20 years plus however long the Clone Wars take, which I think is about like 3 or 4 years.
Okay, I'm sorry. 23 years later.
It's like 23 years.
The Clone War, I mean, we'll get into this, but the Clone Wars also, I've not watched the Clone Wars animated series. I don't know if you have.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'll try not to be too annoying about
that. No, because what I'm curious, because it's the movie, the plot of this film, which we don't have to dissect. I don't think at a granular level we have to dissect Attack of the Clones, a movie everybody on Earth has seen. But there's something about, like, to me, what are the sides in the Clone Wars? Because in this film, it's like, oh, like Dooku and the racism aliens from episode 1 and the bug aliens from episode 2 are on like Hell Planet with the toys with so many kinds of different animals that can be turned into toys on it. It's incredible. They're on the toys planet and you know they do Ben-Hur or whatever and they fight in the arena. Anyways, but the Yoda shows up with the clones, you know, around the survivors that they perimeter create famously.
Yes. The perimeter they create.
But then it's like, no, Dooku is, and the whole time Dooku is like, you know, there's a Sith Lord or whatever. And they're like, and then he goes to Palpatine and he's like, hey, I'm with you. I'm Darth mean guy. I can't remember what his Darth name is.
Yeah, Tyrannus.
Lord mean guy.
Yeah.
And then the Empire's or the Republic's in charge of the clones. It's just very unclear to me.
I'll try to like unwrinkle some of this, because it seems like this movie is intentionally vague about a lot of that stuff.
And they said one day Gedmund Tartakovsky will sort this out for me.
Well, see, unfortunately, he did that, and then they're like, whoa, oh boy. And then they went along and did it again. And they made like the CGI one. I don't even know if you've paid attention to that one at all.
No, who has the time, Clayton?
That's even better. That's the brainchild of both Lucas, but also, I forget his name, but the guy who's kind of now in charge of Star Wars, who did like The Mandalorian. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, guy.
Sure. John, is it not? It is not John Favreau. Am I making
No, he's connected to it, okay. But he's not the main deal. Basically, you don't need to know much about him other than a fan of Star Wars has taken over Star Wars.
Dave For Filoni?
Better or Dave Filoni.
Filoni, that's right.
Yeah, because the thing is I feel like this is such an annoying thing to say, but it is true. That CGI makes that series makes this movie better, but it especially makes the third movie better.
Oh, interesting.
But it's because some of these questions you're asking, they dig into. And now that is also a kids-ish show, so a lot of the times it's just zany antics and stuff that is not, I don't find that interesting. But
yeah,
sometimes it talks about what is the banking clan's deal. Like,
sure.
And I find that kind of interesting. And, you know, they name one of the...
Yeah. Oh, sorry. This is a really quick question. Because my favorite thing in this whole movie...
Yes.
...is when... So, like, the movie... Well, I guess we'll get into it a little bit in a second. But, like, I think it's actually chugging along quite nicely until it gets to Geonosis, hell planet.
I think,
like, there is, like, much like all the prequels, there is, every time I rewatch them, I think they're more interesting and also worse movies.
Yeah.
But I think they're more interesting every time.
That's a good way to put it.
And there's an interesting sort of, like, neo-noir trying to break out of this movie with Obi-Wan.
Yes.
On the trail of the fucking Kaminoans and stuff. And Ewan McGregor doing the best... We need to make a new Oscar category for acting alongside tennis balls on a stick, because this whole movie is wandering around the Nick Arcade alone and is doing such a good job. It's crazy. But like, I think the movie's actually chugging along quite nicely until I get to Geonosis, and then it's like absolute dog shit for like 45 minutes, I think. But they're once they get there, they're in the lair with all the evil aliens, and they're sitting around a table discussing their evil plan. And they ask a guy about the techno the techno empire or whatever.
Techno union, yes.
The techno union, and he's got like a metal faceplate, and he goes, "Everything's fine." And he's got a crazy head, and I love him so much, and I just need to know, is he revisited in these programs?
He is lightly revisited in the programs.
Okay, this is huge to me.
I honestly wish I wish I could say it's a big deal, but they get into like all the Federation or this is the Confederacy now. They're all patsies. They're all dupes. They're like...
Right. And I know at the end where like Palpatine's like, the war that I'm trying to engineer has started because the thing that is eternally interesting about these movies is they like weirdly predict like the Iraq war.
And like other political things.
The march to it. And George Lucas is, you know, by all accounts to me, seems like his politics are basically in the right place.
Yeah.
Like... You ever watch THX 1138?
Oh, yeah.
And there's a bit in it where he's like, I remember watching it like during lockdown. Mm-hmm. And there's a bit in it where the main character is like in his apartment and he puts on the TV and it's a hologram. And the show he's watching is just a cop silently beating a guy on the ground with a nightstick, like rhythmically and silently beating him. And it's like stuck in my brain so much because I'm just like, this is a guy... who is actually like a decent understanding of power and politics and like is doing like funny, but like interesting and like satire that like sticks with me a lot. Mm-hmm, and so like that guy is still, you know, like Princess Leia's got the hair that like Sandinistas had, like, or Zapatistas rather. But like, you know, it's like these Mexican like revolutionary women in a photo that he saw. Like he is somewhere politically that is, I think, a little more interesting than, I would say, the Disney Corporation.
Yes. And it's interesting what he, you can see the difference, I think, in that, I don't know, I guess until Andor, the stuff Lucas made had a way more political valence to it.
Yeah.
And like, those, like, the new Disney trilogy, it's like, they, when they tried, Disney's like, don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't talk about arms dealers. We're going to fire you.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting which directors can get away with that. But like, I'll point out the things that they like actually pull out of this one. Cause in many ways, you're right. This one is still making a point about how wars are started.
Or like, and like how fascism politics. Takes root. And it's like, guess who helped capitalism? Like all the capitalists are helping. Like it's money. Like, yeah.
Cause they don't even care what side they're on. It's just, I can get paid.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Like it's, you know, it's like, it is so obvious that they are just like the big stupid patsies that like are the handmaidens of fascism are just called the fucking Trade Federation. Mm-hmm. It's just like, they're doing like the business plot. Like it's just,
yeah. So just before we get started, just to give context to like what we thought about the culture thought about this movie at the time, I wanted you to guess what the tomato meter is.
The tomato meter?
The tomato meter is.
You say tomato meter, I say tomato motor.
So this is critical reviews. Tomato. And then we'll get to the popcorn pop commenter, which is people reviewing it.
Okay, so my thought is so most of those reviews that are like critical reviews are going to be contemporaneous, correct? So
322 of them.
Yeah. So I think they're going to be contemporaneous with when the movie came out. So in my mind, it's going to be higher than we think because the first movie was so poorly reviewed. My recollection was that the first movie, everyone was like, what is this boring bullshit with this kid who sucks? Whereas this movie almost resembles a movie. So I can imagine critics being a little happier about it. And also like, all sci-fi at the time and all CGI stuff looked so bad and all was so bad that I'm going to say contemporary critics, 45%.
Okay. 62.
Wow. We were all really fucked up from 9/11. We needed to cheer us up.
There are some like reviews after.
Okay.
From before that era, but not that many. It's not all of them by far. I think hundreds of them are still from that era. Popcorn-o-meter of the 200, God, a quarter million people voting for this. They decided 56.
Okay.
56%. So interestingly, I've seen people point out this is in that range of like, oh, people disagree about it. So actually it's probably interesting, which.
Yeah.
True. I don't think that makes it like, it's annoying because it's not even so bad. It's good. It's mostly just like, oh wow, how did that like, get by everybody who's creatively putting this together?
Right. Like, and there's like some stuff to enjoy in this movie. I think Ewan McGregor is having the time of his life. I think he's so enjoyable to watch. And like, as much as I love in a lot of things Liam Neeson, I think he was poorly cast and clearly didn't want to be there in the first movie. So a lot of the McGregor stuff is kind of wasted in that one. So in this movie, he's just kind of alone. And like I said, talking to a lot of tennis balls. So he's having a great time acting alone. And, you know, so I think there's Christopher Lee's in this shit. Like it's
that too. Yeah.
Cool as fuck to me. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like it's the sort of thing where I just feel like there's like some stuff in here that is kind of fun and like,
yes.
And stuff that sucks now, I think at the time felt fun. Like seeing Yoda flip around. I recall seeing this film in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And being like, hot damn, Yoda's flip Yoda man.
Did not expect that. I'll give it that much.
Yeah.
I had this weird thing. Okay. Don't get mad at me.
I won't get mad at you.
The CGI in this has now almost taken on this air of like, this is the most precursor.